This is the Thirsty Developer, episode 14 for February 29th, 2008, Scrum. So Larry, we're in Vegas.
Yep, we're in Studio LAS.
Studio LAS, yes. So both of us are in Vegas this week. We're here for actually a team offsite meeting, actually just a few days before Mix. And we figure, you know, what better way to record a podcast but then, you know, grabbing a couch in the corner of the casino somewhere and busting one out here. So what are we going to talk about today?
We had an interview with Ed Shaltry from Centaire Group, and he's their CTO. And the interview was on Scrum. And I first met Ed about 3 or 4 years ago, and we talked about Scrum for the very first time.
So Scrum, that's a funny word. What does it mean?
It's the origins of the word actually come from rugby. That, you know, when the guys are at the very beginning of a play and they're huddled together and the two teams are, you know, kind of, you know, face to face and they're kicking the ball between them, that is a scrum.
Right.
Scrum in the computer, you know, technology methodology term is a way of managing your projects. It's not a methodology. It's kind of just a way of organizing your team around
herd
a
cats.
Software development project. Yeah, it's the herd and catch process. It's a set of best practices that have been put together, and collectively they're known as Scrum.
Okay, great. So, I mean, yeah, Scrum is one of those methodologies that kind of have come on.
It's not a methodology, Dave.
Well, okay, not
it's a
methodology.
Technique.
It's a technique. Okay, technique that's kind of come on the scene the past couple of years, more around the agile development movement.
It works very well with agile principles, and the nice thing is because it's a set of techniques that technically it could work with any methodology, so you could actually use it as part of a waterfall project, although it works best with agile or XP-type programming styles.
Okay, great. So let's listen to your interview with Ed.
So I'm sitting here in the offices of the Centaire Group in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I'm here with Ed Shaltry. Ed, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, hi, Larry. I am the CTO and partner of Centaire Group. Basically, I guess with a company of 35, you can give yourself any three-letter acronym you want to. So basically, I'm the technical side of the partnership.
Cool. So, Ed, I met you a few years ago, and one of the first times that I met you was you were putting together, the Centaire Group was putting together some training around Scrum, and you guys had the father of Scrum come in, Ken Schwaber. And at the time, you were one of the first certified Scrum Masters in the area, and now, of course, you know, the kind of practice has grown. And I wanted to sit down with you today and talk about what is Scrum, because I think it's a very interesting concept that a lot of the people listening to the show can kind of pick up on and learn a little bit from. So tell us, what is Scrum?
All right. Scrum itself is a process that basically helps us provide agile project management to software development efforts. I think a lot of people get religious about what Scrum is and what it's all about and the definition of it. But bottom line is it's an agile process that allows us to deliver the highest value software first. There's a couple different elements of Scrum we'll talk about today. But in a nutshell, it's a better way of managing software development efforts to assure that you're optimizing the value of your investment in the development effort.
Yeah, and that's the most expensive part of any software application. It's definitely not the tools. It's definitely not the hardware. You know, it's the people time, and that's your scarcest resource. The first time I heard about Scrum, you know, I kind of rolled my eyes and said, oh, great, another software methodology. And that's when I quickly learned that's what this Scrum is not a methodology.
Right, absolutely.
The other thing that's interesting about it is that you can use it with pretty much any methodology out there. It's just, you know, there's always trade-offs between the Scrum practices and the methodology that you're following. And we can get into that a little bit, but let's kind of talk about the core principles, you know, of Scrum.
Okay. As you said, Scrum is about how you manage the effort versus how you develop the software. And that's one of the first things I want to make sure people understand, because there seems to be a lot of misconception about that. It's going to talk about the what and the when you do, or, you know, as far as features go that you develop versus the how you develop them. Okay. And so some of the major elements of Scrum, there's going to be some specific roles that we define within Scrum. There's going to be specific artifacts that we define in Scrum, and then specific meetings that we have as part of the Scrum process. Being an agile process, it's all about feedback, providing feedback early and often. And so the Scrum process itself has a number of different meetings that we're going to focus on.
Checkpoints.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
At different stages in the cycle.
So, you know, from a role standpoint, you're going to have somebody called the Scrum Master. I like that term, Scrum Master. Sounds like something from Kung Fu years ago.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, the Scrum Master is going to be the person responsible for making sure the process is followed. You're going to have the Scrum Team, who's the actual development team that's actually going to get the work done. And you're going to have a product owner who's responsible for whatever it is that you're delivering from a definition standpoint. We can go into some more detail about those. We've also got artifacts, which include basically the Scrum backlog, the product backlog, which is going to be your list of, hey, here's the stuff it is we're building right now for a given product. We're going to have a sprint backlog, which is going to be, this is the effort we're going to be working on specifically over the next period of time. And then we're going to actually... All right.
That's okay, man.
Basically, there's going to be a sprint burn down chart, which is something we're going to develop out of the sprint backlog. And then we're also going to have basically the set of meetings I talked about. oh, man.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Pick it up from artifacts.
Yeah.
Are you missing the demo? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, we call it a product increment, functional product increment. Okay, it's basically going to be working code, is the last piece. And the key there, there's a process, a Scrum flow chart that makes a lot of sense when you see it. You start out with a product backlog. You're going to break a piece of that off and work on every X number of days. I'm going to talk about what X is here in a second, and that's called the sprint backlog. We're going to iterate on that sprint backlog over the course of this period of time. And at the very end of it, the key is we want working software. And that's really, I think, how Scrum is different than a lot of other methodologies out there, as we call it.
Yeah, because a lot of them have, you know, iterations and milestones and all
absolutely.
That. But, you know, the Scrum principle is that you should have potentially shippable software
potentially
at the end of the sprint.
Product increment is what we call it. And basically that software needs to run. It needs to work. And when we say potentially shippable, we mean from a software team standpoint, hey, we've done what we need to do. This stuff is tested. It works. Now, of course, it's up to the business. Do they want to ship it or not?
Right.
Okay, so the business will say, hey, is there enough functionality here to justify a new release or not? But from a software team standpoint, we're done with it.
It may not be feature complete from the product backlog standpoint. So you may have, you know, I always use the example of, you know, add a customer, delete a customer, update a customer. Your first sprint may be add a customer and delete a customer, but the business can't use it because you don't have those update features, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But the key is add and delete need to work.
Yes.
Right.
100% tested, ready to go. You would turn it over to somebody.
Yep, absolutely. And then the other elements of Scrum, basically we talked about the meetings. From a high-level overview, you know, you're going to have a sprint planning meeting, which is when we're going to talk about what it is we're going to build over the next sprint. Then there's going to actually be a meeting every day called the Daily Scrum. Okay, and that's where we're going to get together. And that's that checkpoint we talked about that, hey, what do you know, three questions we're going to answer. Okay, what did we do yesterday? What are we going to do today? And then what issues are standing in our way? And then the last meeting is basically going to be a sprint review. And that's at the end of the sprint. We're going to sit down with the product owner and show them everything we've done.
Yeah, and this is like a demonstration, but it shouldn't be, you know, just a, you know, showcase kind of thing. It should be the product owner can get in there, can break this, you know, try to break the software. It's hands-on pounding, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the key is that you shouldn't spend a lot of time preparing for it. I mean, you spend the time during the course of the sprint working on the code, run the tests, spend a little time preparing for the sprint review. And the second half of that meeting then is once you've shown what you've delivered would be the sprint retrospective. Okay, and that's where we're going to sit down and say, hey, what went well this sprint and what didn't? And so that in a real high level are the various elements of Scrum. You know, specifically, then we can certainly dig into anything you got questions about.
Yeah, we haven't talked about you mentioned X, because a sprint at the very beginning you have the planning meeting, at the end you have the demonstration, you know, or the, you know, showing the product, and then you have the retrospective. You know, we haven't talked yet about, you know, how many days between those is typical.
Yeah, and a year ago I would have said it's always 30 days. That's my preference, is to basically take roughly a month for each sprint. And the rationale behind that is that, you know, when you're putting together some estimates of what it's going to take to deliver each individual feature, you need a little bit of slack time in there. I mean, bottom line is some things we're going to nail, some things we're going to be a little light on, and some things we're going to overestimate. And over the course of 30 days, you've got a chance of delivering some significant pieces of work, and you've got a chance of basically recovering from anything you may have misestimated.
Yep.
That being said, I know a lot of people today are actually looking at two-week sprints, and there's a lot of good, solid, I think, rationale behind that. Number one, many businesses, especially towards the end of your development effort for a product, need to turn around quicker releases to get the quicker, potentially shippable product increment out to the business. Okay, basically, for whatever reason, they want to deliver pieces, maybe it's smaller, obviously smaller pieces of software, smaller feature sets, but more quickly. And that's actually something that's worked very well for a lot of folks. And even people, we really haven't talked about other uses of Scrum, but, you know, new product development makes a lot of sense. But there's folks that are using Scrum today basically in maintenance situations where they actually have a bug list or, you know, different service requests come in on a maybe an older product. And what they need to do is turn around and focus on the highest priority ones, but they want to do it in a very a rigorous fashion. And so they apply Scrum to that, but instead of doing a 30-day sprint, which is too long of a turnaround for some of these bugs, they're going to do it in two-week cycles.
Right. And I think that it's, you know, it applies to any time you're building something. When you're in an operational support mode, it probably doesn't fit, because at the beginning of the two-week period or the 30-day period, you can't predict what support issues you're going to run into over the next 30 days. But anytime you're building something new, you know, it kind of applies. Let's jump to the, you know, I think the heart of Scrum, and I've done this myself. You know, I've actually been on Scrum teams, you know, with varying success, from wildly successful to total disaster.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like you talked about with software estimation, I think it always averages out to a good experience.
Yeah.
You know, the daily stand-up is key, and, you know, that is the team meeting every day, and it's every work day, and it's up to the team to declare, you know, is Saturday a work day or not. You're answering the three questions that you talked about, but there's two kinds of roles, and there's a great joke about this, the chicken and the pig.
Yep.
Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about, you know, who can attend the daily Scrum, okay? And, you know, from Scrum standpoint, everybody can attend. However, when you're attending the meeting, you have to understand what role you're in during the course of the meeting. And the story we use is that basically the chicken and the pig. The chicken goes to the pig, hey, let's start a restaurant. And the pig thinks about it. Okay, what do you want to call it? And the chicken says, well, how about ham and eggs? And the pig thinks about it for another moment and says, I don't know if I like that. Basically, you'd be involved and I'd be committed.
Yeah, because the chicken's supplying the eggs, but the ham is coming from the pig.
A real commitment. So what we basically talk about then for the that story, what it represents is the chickens and the pigs in the meeting. I know nobody likes being called a pig or a chicken, but in the end, the development team, they're the pigs. They're committed to this. They're basically laying their reputation on the line. They're working their butts off over the course of the sprint to get the work done. Anybody else can come and listen in and see what's going on, but they're the chickens. They're just involved from a standpoint, hey, I want to hear the progress they're making. I want to hear what issues they're facing. But they're expected to not talk during the course of this meeting.
Right. And how long is a typical stand-up?
15 minutes is ideal. If you can make it a little less than that, that's fine. But you certainly don't want to go much beyond that. What a lot of people do for daily meetings, and, you know, people say, hey, we do Scrum, we have daily meetings. Well, it turns out to be, you know, the 15-minute meeting turns into an hour marathon. And in the end, people start thinking, oh, I don't have time to go to this meeting. You know, I don't want to go because I've got stuff on my plate. I've got too much to do. And so people start missing the meeting, you know, the meeting that's a required meeting to have.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of misapplication of some of the principles of Scrum. And a daily meeting outside of Scrum is a complete value. It's not like that's something specific to, you know, the Scrum practices. but this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. When you hear that somebody's having a two-hour daily stand-up, I don't know about you, I can't stand up for 2 hours.
No, it's usually a two-hour daily sit-down then at that point.
Yeah, I mean, if it turns into a status report or a let's solve problems, and that's the key thing is you're meant to identify the problems at the scrum, then let everybody get to work, and then the scrum master is going to work on the problems with the team members that are relevant to it.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a really good point, Larry. The temptation, and I think that's the first place that these meetings start getting out of control, is when people start talking about the issues. Instead of just identifying them to say, oh, let's solve this problem. Hey, we've got all the people in the room. Let's go ahead and do it. Well, you know, in the end, they probably have too many people in the room to solve the problem, so you're still wasting somebody's time. All right, and again, then you start having longer meetings. The same situation occurs. People start thinking, hey, I don't have time to go to this, and some of the meeting's not relevant to me. So if you focus on the meeting, focus on the three questions that need to get answered during the course of this meeting. Scrum Master takes the issues. It's a Scrum Master's responsibility then to address those issues and to resolve them in some way, shape, or form. That may end up being another meeting. You know, after this meeting, let's two of you stay here. We'll talk about this. We'll work through it.
Right, and the rest of the team is going off, absolutely, you know, to hit their task.
Yep.
Is the Scrum Master a project manager?
Well,
I've always wanted to ask Ken Schwaber that.
Yeah,
but you're here.
No, that's fine. I'm not sure what Ken's answer to that would be, but you know, my answer to that is that yes and no. Certainly, in many organizations, the project manager owns the process. Well, in Scrum's case, the Scrum Master owns the process to make sure it's followed. But when it actually comes to managing the effort, you know, I look at the Scrum Master really, and that's a role I've served before. I'm just there to take the notes, you know, take the issues, go resolve the issues. The team itself is going to figure out who's doing what. It's called self-organizing.
Yep.
That's not the Scrum Master's job, is to appoint who's going to do what. And so, you know, from my standpoint, it's kind of a yes and no answer.
Right.
There are project managers that make great Scrum Masters. But I think project managers that tend to be very rigorous and controlling, they're not going to make a good Scrum Master.
Yeah, I always look at it as a Venn diagram. You've got what a project manager does and what a Scrum Master does, and they overlap. So they're not diametrically opposed. But there are things that the Scrum Master does that the project manager certainly doesn't get involved with, and vice versa. You should never see a Scrum Master, for instance, go around with a Gantt chart and asking people how far they are with the task, right?
Absolutely.
It's the team's responsibility to update the backlog, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Every day, actually. And that's something we haven't really talked about yet, the sprint backlog. But that should be updated every day before the daily Scrum.
Yeah, and actually, I always take a perverse pleasure in completing tasks myself. I actually enjoyed, you know, sitting there first thing in the morning or last thing in the day. You know, it's up to you depending on how you want to update it. I always did it first thing in the morning. I looked back at the day before and said, what have I accomplished? And there's nothing better than seeing the burn down chart, which is kind of a visualization of your backlog chart. You know, take that, you know, appropriate downward slope.
No, actually, and that's very exciting. And, you know, that's one of the things that I know Ken's always said about Scrum is, you know, one of the good things about Scrum is it doesn't hide anything. One of the bad things about Scrum is it doesn't hide anything, right? And that burn down chart can certainly be something you feel very good about, or it can be something that you feel very bad about, depending on, you know, where that's at the end of the day, where the chart's at the end of the day.
Yeah. So kind of final question so we can wrap up, because I think we've, you know, talked about a lot of the principles. Actually, I've got two questions.
Sure.
One, where would somebody go to find more information? And the second question is, you know, if somebody was going to tackle, like, you know, listen to this podcast saying, hey, I think the Scrum thing is great, I'd like to apply this, what are like the three things that you would tell somebody to do?
Well, good questions. First of all, where to go to find more information about Scrum? There's a couple places I'd recommend. First of all, if you're online, Ken Schwaber's website is a great resource. It is the resource for Scrum. It's www.controlchaos.com. And on that website, Ken's got a lot of good material that you can reference about what Scrum's all about. As well as there's also training opportunities for Scrum listed off of his website. The other place I would go for information about Scrum is the book. It's the Black Book on Scrum.
There's two books. There's a gray one and a black one.
Yeah, actually, there's three now.
Those
Ken,
three? Okay.
Ken just released one, Scrum in the Enterprise, I believe. But the first one, the Black Book, is kind of the Scrum Bible as far as I'm concerned. And it's an easy read. It's something you can easily knock off in a day. And basically just go to Amazon and just Google for Scrum and Ken Schwaber, and you're going to find it. It'll be the first hit. But I strongly recommend folks read that book before they do anything else with Scrum. Now, your second question, that's kind of related. You know, what do they want to do? The top three things. Well, first of all, read the book because it's going to seem like it's too easy. It's just all this is common sense, but you really need to read through it because Ken also outlines some of the potential pitfalls that can come up in Scrum.
And everybody, you know, even though you have a trained Scrum Master working with you, everybody should read the book, right?
Oh, absolutely, everybody from the Scrum Master, product owner, to the Scrum team. The second thing I guess I'd recommend is pick a project that's high enough priority that you need to get it done, but also not super high priority that you can't, you know, that basically everyone's next on the line if it fails. That's always the best recommendation for anything new. You know, you got to want to do it. You have to have the business behind you to get it done, but yet you also don't want to be under fire at the same time. And the third thing is kind of follow on to an earlier point I made about the training. The Scrum training itself, it's 2 days. You're going to meet a lot of people that have faced similar situations. Some people have been using Scrum for a while, have come to kind of hone their skills. Other people are brand new to it. I strongly encourage people to seek out Scrum Master training for at least a few members of their group.
Okay. Would the alternative be to bring in a professional Scrum Master?
Sure, absolutely, if you'd like. For somebody to help, kind of help manage the process early on to get people up to speed, that's certainly stuff we've done here at Centerre Group, is to go in and basically, you know, talk to them about Scrum and really serve it, again, as kind of a Scrum Master mentor, I guess, is for lack of a better term, to kind of get the process in place. And I guess I'm going to throw a fourth item there and basically keep it simple. There's a lot of really nice tools out there that you can use for Scrum today, but really Excel, from my standpoint, is a great place to start because you can do everything you need to from a Scrum standpoint in Excel. The product chart backlog, the sprint backlog. You can do your own burn down charts if you want, basically just using Excel functionality. And it really keeps it simple to kind of get through this first project. Now, there's other web-based tools out there that are actually really nice. There's a nice plug-in into TFS from Conchango. Again, the problem I've got with tools in general is that if you lead with a tool, you let that define what you're doing.
You generally don't focus on the process.
Exactly.
You nail the process and then say, okay, now I need to do this repeatable. Let me go get a tool to help me.
Absolutely. The tool will then help enforce the process later on. So, but that's basically it.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for your time today. And hopefully we'll get a few more people out there practicing Scrum.
Oh, excellent. Well, thanks again, Larry. I appreciate the opportunity.
So, Dave, I enjoyed the interview with Ed, but I think that we just barely scratched the surface with it. As we talked about towards the end there, Scrum can be deceptively simple, right? And it's hard to do it justice in a quick 20-minute interview.
Right.
So definitely I think that we'll have Ed back on to talk about some of the more finer points of Scrum, you know, as we kind of like move along with a thirsty developer. But, what do you think?
Looking at Scrum, the whole technique, in the sense that it's a really kind of just a simple concept if you think about it, and I don't want to oversimplify it, but the idea of, hey, here's a thought, let's get the team together, you know, at the beginning of the day before anybody sits at their computer and starts pounding away code, but hey, let's get everybody together and talk about where are we at, where do we stand, what is everybody working on today? You know, it just makes sense to have that discussion as opposed to everybody kind of going off in their corners and doing their own thing, and also sort of bringing down the effort around their development to shorter release cycles, you know, shorter sprints.
Chunk it up in the sprints, yep.
Yep. So, I mean, it makes sense, and I think it's a good process to follow. And, we're seeing it take off, and there's some interest around it, and I hope more and more teams do it.
Yep. So we should move on to a blog you should know?
Yeah, so this week, blog you should know is actually, you know, I want to kind of keep it topical, but this is actually a blog I've been following for quite a while. I mean, a couple years ago, I was really following the VSTS movement when Microsoft first released VSTS or announced VSTS, I should say, and I was really intrigued by the product and just wrapping my arms around, you know, sort of having these tools to help out with the process and everything. And Rory Asharov has a blog at weblogs.asp.net, R Asharov, and that's Rosherove. And of course, we'll have a link in the show notes. But Roy, he's had a blog for quite a while. He's actually one of our influentials based out of Israel, and he has a lot of great content on his blog around the Agile methodologies and quite a few articles around, you know, Scrum and the process itself. So definitely check out Roy's blog. It's got a lot of great stuff.
In my pick, I'm going off topic today. Dan Rigsby, who we know from Indianapolis, is a great guy, you know, good community guy. He's been involved with the Indy Tech Fest and stuff like that. He started blogging kind of fast and furious, you know, in December. You know, so he's, you know, he had a blog, I think, previous to that, but over the past 3 months, he's posted a lot of things out there, and it's become my favorite blog to follow on the WCF topic. You know, he's gone from somebody who was just, you know, kind of just had a blog out there and would, you know, do kind of the, you know, just a post here and there, to somebody who's got some deep, meaningful stuff on WCF. And it's interesting to watch, like, over the last couple of months, you know, as he's put these, you know, really good articles out there, to see his traffic increase. You know, he's got a speed burner chicklet on the front page. Definitely, if you're interested in WCF, that's where most of his topics are around. His blog is danrigsby.com, and that's danrigsby.com/blog.
So one of these days we're going to have to start using Tiny URL or Shrinkster or something.
Yeah, we ought to think about that, you know. But you know, all those hexadecimal characters, but you know, scare me.
That's right. But you know, we'll have these links on the show notes, so don't worry about that. So, you know, definitely check those out. Go to thirstydeveloperatlive.com. And with that, I think we should wrap up this week's show, Larry.
Yep.
So from Vegas, were you lucky in Vegas, or did Vegas?
So I left with more money than I came with, but I didn't gamble at all. Go figure.
We're not going to get into that story, folks. So, okay, so with that, let's wrap it up. So once again, you can reach myself, Dave Bost, at daveboss.com. Larry, where can we find you, my friend?
LarryClarkin.com. That's C-L-A-R-K-I-N.
That's right. And, of course, where else can they find us?
On Twitter and Facebook.
That's great. So with that, everyone, we're signing off from Vegas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Thirsty Developer. For more information, visit thirstydeveloper.com. We'll see you next time.
Welcome to Thirsty Developer. I'm Dave Boston. Let's start it over.
Beep.